Welcome back to the Creep Dive.
Okay, ready for the harmony?
Ha, Creep Dive.
Beautiful.
That's fucking good.
I think it's a keeper.
That was completely improvised.
It's like the fours.
Yeah, would you believe we didn't practice that?
Okay, we did once. We did a one-time practice. Wait, but it sounded nothing like that.
This is the chorus. Who's Jim?
Me. Sorry, I'm bagging him. He's the most interesting.
I want to be Jim. I'm the one who's got a strong interest in UFOs.
Okay, Cassie, tell your fucking story.
Okay. Today, gather around. I want to tell you the story of Samantha Azzopardi.
Right. I feel like you might have pronounced her name wrong.
I think I probably did, but let's not get too into the details. Okay.
Back in the stirrups, Jen.
Okay. You will know Samantha Azzopardi from 2013 when she appeared outside the GPO.
Cool. This is brilliant. Do we all remember
like
this?
Appeared
really well?
Like an apparition.
So, okay, for people, I'm going to get really
okay,
into the
hang
details.
On. Yeah, I'm completely.
Do you remember?
No, I'm a blank slate.
In
I don't know anything about this.
In 2013, a girl appeared outside the GPO looking dazzled and confused. And there
dazzled
was an
or
not
dazed.
Dazed. There was
dazzled.
Guys,
well,
this is very
she was
serious,
dazzled
okay?
by O'Connell
very
Street. It's a glorious
serious.
Place. Okay.
Not able to speak English. Very upset. Distressed.
But dazzled nonetheless.
Was she bejazzled and
okay, okay. Sorry. Shut up.
There was an image captured of her on CCTV footage. And the authorities could not identify this girl. And they thought that she was a trafficked child who
Jesus.
Had escaped.
What
Did
age
she
is
look
she?
Young?
She appeared to be about 14 years of age.
Jesus.
So when they could not identify her, they made the decision to release the image of her from the CCTV camera, which caused great controversy within the Irish public because they were releasing a photo of an apparently endangered minor. And they didn't want to attract the attention of... Who supposedly
potentially
the traffickers,
but
and
they
get
had
her into trouble.
I mean, they had her. It's not like they released a photo. And
no,
let
they
her
had
go.
Her. They yeah. had her in. They had her in custody. She was being taken care of. I think she was put into a temporary foster care or emergency accommodation. Couldn't speak. Would not speak.
Presuming her age was 14,
thinking she was 14, and she would not.
And was she hurt?
She was just distressed.
Okay.
She was wearing kind of a really tatty tracksuit. Didn't seem to have any other clothes. The photo of her, you remember, she has her finger in her kind of yes. in her mouth or around her mouth, and she does look Young. Like she's troubled.
Yeah.
That was
dazzled,
Samantha Azzopardi, and she was at that time 27.
Fucking
she
hell.
She was an Australian.
So, what? Hang on a second. This picture, I remember this picture, and yeah. She was definitely young. I remember being like, oh yeah.
She looks really young.
It was shocking. It's shocking.
She had been working in Ireland
Australia.
Previously to that. Or her mother's boyfriend had been working in Ireland, so he saw the photo and identified her. Then she was deported back to Sydney.
Okay, fucking
hell. Did she ever speak in all this time?
I'm not sure. But that
like
is...
Like after they were like, wait, you're Australian? Did she kind of start...
She was given a 6-month suspended sentence for wasting police time in Ireland. But it was estimated that the operation to try and identify her, which went on for quite a few yeah. weeks and involved Interpol and everything, cost the state €250,000.
Oh, my God.
Okay, she was given a 6-month suspended sentence and deported back to Australia. That is the tip of the iceberg of what this girl has done.
Motherfucker.
So let's go right back.
So
okay?
hold on a sec. So she was here in Ireland.
Yes.
Wandered around.
Mm-hmm.
Who picked her up or did somebody stop her on the street?
I think someone must have stopped her and called the police.
And said, are
you
okay?
Looked like
she wasn't
speaking. Looked like a distressed
okay, gotcha.
Child.
Okay.
But she didn't, I don't know what must have, I don't know, the kind of media coverage doesn't state what it was that...
What happened okay.
that she was kind of, the authorities were contacted when she was spotted. Samantha's lies began early. Very early as a child, so much so in fact that when she was in school in Sydney, she had convinced her teachers and her friends that she was Lindsay Lohan.
So, I'm gonna stop you right there. Did she successfully convince her teacher? I would worry about a teacher.
Yes. She adopted Lindsay Lohan as like her persona and convinced them that she was Lindsay Lohan. And when the Parent Trap was released, she actually dyed her hair to match Lindsay Lohan's.
That's not the weirdest thing about this story.
Her friend.
Yes.
Now we're
she's coming
see,
off.
We're going
best
to see
in this story.
We're going to see a trend here of Samantha adopting celebrity names,
okay,
as her aliases. and getting into trouble all around the world. Okay. So that was kind of accounts from her friends and family when she was young said that she always had a problem with lying.
Okay.
Her first major con happened in 2010 when she was in Brisbane and she went by the name of Dakota Johnson.
No. Sorry. Does that person exist?
I feel daughter like of Melanie Griffith?
Yes.
Star and Don Fifty Johnson. Shades.
Sorry.
Star of 50 Shades of Grey.
But that wasn't out yet.
But that wasn't, I mean, that's 2010. That's not that long ago. That's 8 years ago.
She adopted the name, but did she also adopt
the life?
No, she doesn't did pretend. Did she say,
there's my mom there?
She doesn't pretend to be the celebrity. She just takes celebrity names as her name.
Gotcha.
Okay. You know?
That is so...
Just a coinkadink that my name was Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Or more really lazy. Like she can't think of a fake name. She's like, what about... about Beyonce Knowles?
That's a cool name.
Yeah. The Lindsay Lohan lie.
That sounds like a name. I mean, trips off the tongue like it's a name.
I think she did try and convince her that she was the Lindsay Lohan star of the Parent Trap. But then after that, I think she just adopts the kind of celebrity names as her aliases.
You could take them in.
Okay, right. So she convinced authorities that she was 14 in Brisbane in 2010. She basically walked into a police station. This is sort of her style. She'll walk into a police station. She'll walk into a place of sort of substance and say that she's a 14-year-old girl who's been abandoned.
Oh, God.
So she said that she was travelling to Australia from Europe and had been abandoned, and she asked for shelter and food, and then she got it. And, like, authorities had no reason to believe that she was anything other than what she said she was. She told the police that she'd been to an island with her uncle before the two were separated, and she even produced a bank receipt that was later revealed to have been forged. She was accepted into a local high school. But it didn't take long for police to realise that she was not who she said she was. So they got suspicious of Dakota and they wanted to kind of...
I wonder what made them suspicious.
I think at the start they were concerned for her welfare and then they kind of became increasingly suspicious. So they actually...
Can I ask a question? Did her parents report her missing?
But sure, she's in her 20s.
She's in her 20s, of course. Oh my God, so this is what Never Been Kissed is based on.
I doubt that, Sophie. but correct, it's a similar...
You know, I think there's very little information there about her family.
That movie was so weird and wrong.
There is quite quite little information out there about her family.
So she was
in
school.
And a lot of her cons are, like, the result is being fostered and being placed in a family. So there must be, maybe there's something there. But I can't find out much information about her family.
Still though,
okay?
if you thought you were fostering a child and it turned out to be...
Nearly 30.
You would give you a no feeling, I would say.
Okay, it's quite unusual.
Yeah. This is how she was discovered the first time in 2010. So the authorities actually thought they were concerned and thought that she might have been abused. And they thought that maybe she wasn't sharing the information. They wanted to investigate more. So when she was in school using her computer, she walked away from it and a teacher or someone stepped in and looked at her computer. And they found a picture of her family standing on the Sydney Harbour Bridge smiling. And in the photo there was a date. So they contacted the tour company in charge of the bridge tours at that date and to see records of the participants, and they found a ticket that she had purchased stating that she was 22-year-old Samantha Azapati.
Bonkers.
Yeah. Mental, right? So she was convicted of forging documents and false representation, but the punishment was only minor. It was a $500 fine. So she was free to go off and do whatever the hell she wanted again. 2010.
Okay, 2010.
Okay. In 2011, she is in Perth. She's made her way to Perth now. So a lot of her cons take place in Australia. She's made her way to Perth and she's made a friend. And she told this friend, and this is a common theme as well, that she'll meet someone new, befriend them, and like really overshare with them and then win her way into their family. So in 2011...
What's exactly right. So what is driving her? So to be in a family, or she's consistently...
I don't know whether it's to be in a family or just...
It's not like she's making any money
people's
or...
private lives or, you know?
Yeah. Or she might get a kick at a kind of...
But there's always a really bizarre, like, farcical element to her stories that gives her away. You know, like, they're not just... She's not just an abandoned child. She's an internationally trafficked child, or she's...
So she
closed the window.
Presumably, she's not saying this is what's happened to me to the authorities either. They're all
So she is.
Oh, she has a big story.
It's only in the GPO that she didn't speak, and I think that's because she has she had committed maybe 4 or 5 cons before she got to the GPO and was probably trying to learn and improve and not give away the story too quick. So in 2011,
that's it. She's like, every time
she's like refining the con.
Yeah, every time I say anything
that gives me away,
I seem to not be good at putting together good stories. I can't because think of good fake names.
No.
So I'm going to opt for the total silence.
She doesn't have the creep. Get yeah. more and more bizarre, right? So in 2011, she met a friend in Perth and she told this person that she was the top under 16 gymnast in the country.
Wow. Now and that is something easily disproved.
Okay. And her entire family had died tragically in a murder-suicide in France.
Whoa. Right. So don't ask me to do the splits because I'm grieving.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yes. Now, see what she did there. Like, that was clever. So I'm going to put something wild into your head.
There's something so wild that you can't come back at me with any follow-up questions because correct. It's just way it's too
so
dark.
It's so tragic. Why would you make it up? You know?
But this is so audacious for a millennial. Cause like,
weird, isn't it?
Very good point.
All we do is Google people we meet.
Well, you get a lot of shit when you Google Lindsay Lohan. You're going to keep scrolling until you find this random one.
Maybe that's a protective thing because if you've got a weirdly celebrity name, you're not going to come up in searches like,
there's no way I'm
going to rank number one or the first page of Google with a name like Lindsay Lohan.
Maybe that is an actual...
But I don't think, in fairness,
she's adopted that.
I don't actually think she's that clever,
as they say.
Because, right, so
she's not that
died
clever.
Tragically, murder suicide in
she
France.
She died tragically.
She told the friend in Perth
that her entire family had died.
She ran us into her death pretty abruptly.
So she actually then stole the identity of an adoption specialist and a judge and emailed the family the paperwork to complete the process of her being able to be fostered essentially by the family. So this is something that she's also getting more and more complex, where she's stealing the identities of authoritative figures to work in this web of lies. So in fairness to the people that she's conning, these very normal people, if you're getting emails from like official looking URLs, or you're getting paperwork from official-looking people.
Sure,
you're not going to choose to believe it. You're going to be like, that poor girl, very talented gymnast, but her entire family died in a murder-suicide in France.
Jesus. And also, like, now these are just secondary people who are, you know, like, underpinning what she's saying.
Yeah.
So
is it a huge, massive attention? Is that what she's kind of driving on here? Or is it kind of...
I mean, I think it is. It seems to be a lot of sympathy and attention, right? So this time she was taken in by the family. So bear in mind, this is 2011. She was taken in by the family. She enrolled in school. But again, the story fell apart in some way.
She's
obsessed with going back to school.
Going back to school all the time and taking on a new identity. I don't know what it is. Maybe she didn't do that well.
Is there anything like her original years in high school? Her heyday.
There was one friend quoted in a news article who said that she had a problem with lying when she was in school, and that's how the Lindsay Lohan story came out. But they said that she was pleasant and that they were, you know, that she was a nice girl. She just had a problem with lying. So I don't think she's consciously doing these things and fabricating these stories.
Did everyone not have a friend like that?
Me and Sophie certainly did.
I think I was that person.
I will never forget this girl in my class. You know, your Monday morning news coming in, and like you'd be like,
how was your weekend?
Yeah, you know, we put a new garden. My parents got divorced. Someone did say that.
Jesus.
But this girl came in and she was like,
We're just looking for a couple of weeks later.
We just want to keep things surface here, please. Natalie, you can just sit down and keep your mouth shut about all your personal pain.
There was a couple of weeks later, he came back and he was like, my mommy and daddy have decided not to get a divorce. And we were like, and then another few weeks later, he was like, back divorced.
Right.
This serial liar came in and she was like, my horse was bitten by a shark on Bray Beach the other day. And I was like, you don't have a horse.
Yeah. Eye roll kind of through the classroom. Like, here we go.
To understand about the sharks, but it's like, right, you Sharon. Definitely don't have a horse.
Here we go.
But I told one of my primary school teachers that I had 6 brothers.
Easily rumbled again.
I was in your primary
school. So easily rumbled. And when my mum met the teacher, she was like, and you're doing great with the seven of them.
There was one of you.
But my mum has six brothers. So like, it wasn't even a very imaginative lie. I was just borrowing the biography of somebody I knew.
But kids do that. They'd like try things on.
You try things on.
And then sometimes you get stuck with a lie and you're like, shit, I gotta roll with this forever
because it's gone a little too far and can't undo
it. How am I going to rustle up six brothers?
Correct.
But you know those people who kind of keep, they can't get past secondary school because it was the greatest they'll ever be.
Do you think that was her issue?
I feel like this sounds like, it's interesting that she keeps wanting to go back to school, a place most people fucking hate and can't wait to get away from.
Surely
the way to do that, if that's her MO and that's her end goal, then the way to do that is to go in and like be the most banal, boring person and just slot right back into school and just, you know, be like, oh, me and my mom have just moved here from wherever.
Maybe get don't Google to yourself in the fucking library.
But just, yeah, just go get someone to pose as her mother or whatever. Yeah.
And she could practically like, pose as her own mother in her 20s.
Yeah.
That's a movie I would pay to see.
Basically a remake of Psycho.
Do you know what's a funny
thought? Just like a kind of a whimsical remake of Psycho meets Freaky Friday.
Do you know what's a really, really funny thought?
With a bit of the Activia ad.
Have you seen the film The Imposter, which is essentially a documentary. It's very similar to this, yeah.
That's
where
right.
this guy pretends
Don't
to be this.
Don't go into that story because we should do that story 1 week. It's brilliant.
But it's very similar. It's another adult posing as a teenager and then being enrolled in high school.
So creepy though.
I know, but like,
hello, Drew Barrymore.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, she did this.
But just bear.
And we commended it.
It was a film though.
We thought it was a rom-com.
Consider this for a moment. She fucked the teacher.
I know.
There's so many problems. But consider this, right? So this Samantha and the imposter were rumbled. But what if there's loads of adults in secondary school who haven't been rumbled? Oh my.
But you know the US, lots of police people do. But I can't remember words for things. Narcotics agents do this, right? So let's say that they think there's a bit of drugs.
It's
in
like
school.
When you meet a guard from the country at Electric Picnic, and he's like, "Where can I buy the drugs?"
Exact. What an unusual accent! I think you should do that all for his.
Was he pretending to be a Jamaican man?
He's just trying to be cool. He's just down with the kids.
You know those Jamaicans
sitting around the fire, and he's like, "Do you guys want a drug? Where do you buy a drug?"
Do you know that we had an encounter with one of these guys?
Oh, yeah, with the
and
with
he
that.
Was wearing a Hive. Fake cast for starters on his arm, which was actually an excellent touch.
Very good.
It just gave it the ring of truth.
How did you know it was fake?
Well, now I know it was fake. Like he
was
kind
he like, ta-da, it works.
And by the by, under arrest. But he was also wearing, and this is where he actually was laying it on a little too thick. He was wearing a red t-shirt that said cocaine in the Coca-Cola writing.
Well, no, that's pushing it.
I know. And like, he just kind of ambled up like, I'm one of you lads.
Yeah, I think the guy that I met was wearing like a Fila jumper.
Fitting right in with the kids. You're like,
jeans. It was
1998 wear.
Yes. Okay. I've come from not... the drug squad, but actually the past.
Exactly right. So the very people who are going to rumble you as you pretend to be a 14-year-old are fucking other 14-year-olds.
Yes, exactly.
Like imagine somebody tried to pass himself off as a 35-year-old and they were 68 or something. We'd be like, okay, well, you're not.
Oh my God, what are you talking about? That's happening all the time.
Where?
You know, that kind of like, is it 16 or is it 60 phenomenon? This is going to sound incredibly misogynistic.
What?
You know when you're walking down the street and there's a kind of a hot woman.
From the back.
From behind.
Short hair.
Oh, especially with that grey hair trend. It's got very difficult.
There. However, she was getting... Where are we now?
Okay, so that was in 2000 level. She was rumbled again. I'm not quite sure how she was. But in October 2013 is when she appeared on Dublin's O'Connell Street... and became known as GPO Girl. She was found in a distressed state and Gardaí immediately began trying to find out who she was and what had happened to her, but it wasn't who they suspected she was.
You have an unusual clippy voice there towards the end of that.
I was trying to be like a news
kind of
reporter, you know?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Get really into it, right? 2,000 man
Do you know
hours.
What's quite awkward?
When people interrupt Cassie's story.
Talk to you about your voice.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. As I'm using it.
As I'm trying to use it.
Okay, so this story was covered internationally. The news New Yorker actually reported that it was €250,000. So she was deported. So six months after she was deported, she managed to get a passport from the Australian government again.
I remember
and
this.
And came back to Ireland. Came back into the country and got a job, worryingly, as an au pair.
Well, that is worrying.
Yeah. Because I don't think she got another passport from the Australian authorities, presumably under the same name.
So do you think she was going in as an au pair, right? But she was going to bamboozle the family into thinking she was in fact one of their children.
Could have been. Could have been, okay? But what I suppose is, well, I guess it's because she was just so known as GPO girl. I knew her as GPO girl. I didn't realise what her actual name was until she started and I cleaned up.
Imagine her CV. It's just like previous so experience. You know, 2011.
Dakota Johnson.
GPO girl. And they're like, oh, topical. You seem to remember you.
You completed your junior search six times.
Imagine it was like very, very qualified.
I'd say it's like she's very discreet and she's like grade 8 speech and drama training.
But where is she now? Still working as an au pair.
Okay, so she works as an au pair, presumably for about kind of, I think it's about 6 months, because it's only a few months later in 2014 that she somehow ends up again in Sydney. So there's no
one's actually horrifying.
One seems to understand.
Horrifying? Finding out that your au pair is serial liar. Well, no, I mean, because I was kind of like, lol. And now I'm like, oh my God, it's terrifying. And she was living in their house,
but
most
likely. Not particularly dangerous is the thing. She's just a really weird liar and she keeps wasting people's time.
She's slippery though.
But I don't think she's, like, it's not like covering her tracks because she's murdered
people. But you know,
people.
It's like, how did the kids get on today?
But it is escalating too, though.
It is escalating. So this is personally my favourite con that we get into now, because it's just
so she's back in Australia.
So she goes back to Sydney in 2014 where she meets a Californian traveller called Emily Bamberg. Right, Bamberg is only 18 and it's her first big trip overseas. So she's like this 18 year old from California, has gone over to Australia far away from home.
Naive.
And she is
perfect for this girl.
She meets Samantha at a hostel and she says they got on straight away because Samantha was like her, was a little bit quiet, a little bit reserved, and you can imagine what a party hostel or hostel is going to be like in Australia, and they two kind of connected.
They'd be smoking cocaine and everything.
So the name that she was using at that time was Annika Decker.
Annika, like Annika Rice.
Okay, Annika Decker.
Annika Decker is kind of nice, isn't it?
Annika Decker. Ka-ka-ka-ka.
All those harsh sounding letters.
She always goes for a name that's going to demand follow-up questions.
Yeah.
Do you know, like, what is with that?
Clive O'Brien.
Clive O'Brien is my friend.
What's wrong with that?
But, like, even Clive isn't, you know.
Okay, that's complex.
Do you know, if you were just kind of like
Anne O'Neill.
Yeah. Like, just Sharon, you know? Just a name.
Annika.
Like,
Annika.
It's like she's kind of like, she wants to kind of be like, I need to be nimble with my lying. So I'm going to constantly be kind of on the edge of people questioning me. And being like, Annika's an unusual name. Where did you get that?
But that's the edge.
Just thought of it a couple of minutes ago.
That's obviously she's getting a kick out of that edge.
Okay, but this gets so much more bizarre, right? So Emily says that Annika starts like planting the seeds that they're in danger. So she starts really kind of getting into her head that they're unsafe in their travel. So she would test her, she says, in a way that was like a social experiment. So they get on a bus and they get off and Annika would say, how many people were on that bus?
What the fuck?
And Emily was like, God, I don't know. And Annika would say, there's 28 people, 13 Caucasians. You need to be more aware of your surroundings. So she was instilling.
She's like trying to foster a paranoia in the other girl.
Exactly, right?
She's a predator. She's like a soul sucker.
Yeah.
This
like a dementor.
This was her backstory for who
Annika.
She was.
Okay. Now, also though, if you've ever done a bit of travelling and a bit of hostel hopping, there's a lot of people with a lot of backstories.
Okay, but anything like this.
Do you remember Andrew?
Yeah.
Okay. We might get back to him.
Okay,
go.
She was royalty and she had been kidnapped when she was a young girl and therefore she had keepers from Interpol taking her around the world. And the majority of her childhood, she'd been moved from place to place around the world to keep her safe and stay off the radar, right? What kind of royalty? I do not know.
Complete.
I thought she was going to say like Romanoff or something like that.
Anastasia.
I'm a descendant.
In hindsight, Emily says that she shouldn't have been manipulated and that she should have been more aware.
Okay. Emily, look, you're 18.
Okay, 18. She's Emily's 18.
She's traveling alone.
She's traveling around. She's probably
she should have more
she's
cop
probably,
on.
She's probably never smoking a lot of weed. She's probably drinking
never been
a lot.
Outside of California, where she probably presumably has met a lot of crazies.
Exactly.
Right. But then she says the lies were so detailed and so well thought out that it was hard to believe that anybody could make them up. So she was. Emily started getting skeptical, but then she started receiving emails from an address ending with @interpol.com.
Oh God!
Okay.
What?
So
how did you get that?
That's
I don't
so
know.
Good.
I don't fucking know, right?
Imagine if she'd used her skills for anything useful.
I know.
I mean, she'd be doing so much. She could be a hashtag girl boss.
She could be a pharmacist
of something.
Why is the actual domain for Interpol? Surely they own Interpol.com to avoid situations like this.
You know the way it might have been one letter off, or there might have been a slash
or like an underscore.
Interpol.int, Interpol International. It's like you need to buy the dot coms, the dot co.
The dot IEs, the dot infos. You need to buy them all up, Interpol.
Still, Emily, you're a dope.
But you know what the other problem is? When you can't see somebody's end game, because in this case, they don't even fucking have one.
Good
as in,
point.
It's not money, it's not power, or it's maybe it's power, but like on
but
this weird,
we
really
know,
low
really.
Grade idiosyncratic level,
super
that when you
attention
can't see
seeking.
What somebody's after, you don't actually have that much reason to be
doubt
like
them.
You're
doubting
right. them. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you are right.
You just, and also,
you
it's more bizarre for somebody to be spinning these lies than for somebody to have had this life in a way.
Mm-hmm. So
in Emily's defense, plus I think she's stoned and paranoid.
Okay. So
which is completely slanderous. Apologies to her.
Well, it doesn't end well for Emily. She got the email and it claimed to be Samantha's keeper. The email told Emily that the mysterious Australian was in trouble. So he told her that Samantha was in trouble, and the email said that they were being followed and they should leave Sydney. They included details about Emily, and your one Emily just or included. It included details about Emily and her family and details that she hadn't told Samantha. So she'd obviously gone and done some Googling or some research or whatever. But like, it seemed legit because it was supposedly Interpol and they knew all about her family
what
and her whereabouts.
What were they instructing her to do?
So they instructed her to
don't tell your one about the email, presumably. Presumably the email was like, don't disclose that we have sent you this email.
But sure, it doesn't matter if Emily's talking to Samantha about
fuck
the email because Samantha sent it.
I can't even follow this story, let alone be the... How does she have the brain power? Like you said, incredible brain power.
But she's creating these little worlds for people, okay? So this is where it gets really fucking creepy. The email says that they're in danger and that they need to leave Sydney and therefore they need to get fake IDs to leave the country. So they were sent the documents. Emily was sent the documents by this supposed Interpol keeper who was trying to protect this kidnapped princess. And they got the fake IDs. Okay, so they got them and they got a new ID and Emily's name changed to Amy Fisher. Is she
here
celebrity?
We go again.
No.
Isla Fisher?
No, it's Amy.
Emily.
I think it's Amy Fisher,
right? She said she was so freaked out and scared at this point and thought it was real because the documents, you know, turned out. So instead of walking away, she said that she decided to stay and help however she could. And she just said that was part of her personality. So the two of them traveled to Brisbane where things just got even fucking weirder, right? So one night, Samantha wakes up Emily and said that her head hurt and that she needed to get an ambulance.
Oh God.
And she had like a pounding headache. But when the ambulance arrived, Samantha told the paramedics that she was 14 and that Emily was her sister.
What the hell?
Okay. Emily was so freaked out and weirded and scared by the whole situation that she just started to go along with it.
You would.
Do you want to question her? It just seems really weird.
Well, also because she's just like in the cult of Samantha now.
And she just thinks that they're in danger, which is probably like her worst fears when she's going to this far off place
obviously.
On her own. So at the hospital then, the police arrived and started questioning Emily and they accused her of kidnapping her sister, her supposed 14-year-old sister. And so Emily was taken to the police station and spent hours answering questions. And she was asked if she thought she was in danger and she said she thought she was. But then she was so freaked out by the whole thing that when they turned on the recorder and asked her if she was in danger, she said no. She spent
I'm starting to feel bad for Emily, right?
Hell
she
yeah.
She spent 2 days in jail.
Holy shit.
They got, she got charged with fraud for the fake...
Emily did.
The 18-year-old American did. She got charged with fraud for the fake ID, and she was fined a lot of money, but she doesn't disclose how much it was. Samantha fled, meanwhile, fled from her hospital bed. And she escaped. Emily's... The exact quote from Emily was, "As O'Party escaped... and met me with the catheter still in her fucking arm. We boarded a plane to Sydney the night she escaped the hospital."
Whoa. Samantha's so intense, isn't
she's like
ripping tubes out of her arm and just fleeing hospital beds. Do you know what I want to know about Samantha? Like, she ever like gets worse.
So she takes, when they get back to Sydney, Samantha takes Emily to a Sydney safe house in the town of Campbellton, which is actually where Samantha grew up. But for 8 days, they were kept in a cabin and not allowed to use the main house. There was no Wi-Fi, meaning Emily couldn't contact her family to let them know where she was or that she was okay. She says nobody knew where her was. Nobody knew where she was. Then Emily's tourist visa was due to expire. So she then flew. After those 8 days, she flew from Australia to New Zealand to apply for another one. But she was questioned extensively by Australian customs officials and then again in New Zealand. And when she got back to Australia, she was immediately deported, probably presumably because of the issues she's had with fraud and the police record or whatever. But all of her belongings were left behind with Samantha, including $1,000 camera, which to an 18-year-old was obviously a lot of money and like probably the most expensive possession that she owns. She was deported back to San Fran. So she ended up going back to San Fran, okay? And when she landed, she logged into the internet and found that Samantha had already messaged her and told her that there was somebody in America trying to kill her. So she said that she was in danger and not to get off the plane and to somehow try to get back to Australia. But then Emily traveled back to San Fran, where she received another message, this time with tickets to fly to Canada because she was told that she was still in danger.
Were they real tickets?
Real tickets. So Emily went to Canada and she says...
Oh my God!
She says...
Emily needs to do some personal growth work.
Okay, she says it's because Interpol had told her that
she was in danger. Fucking thing. Like.
Yeah, that she was in danger and Interpol were telling her to go to Canada. Once she landed... Samantha gave her a tracking device.
What?
Yeah.
Was it an egg carton painted black with some silver?
It was like a card. It's something that seems to be a card with wires in it. But she was going on with it. It wasn't until it's literally the smallest thing that unraveled everything. When they had originally met, Samantha had told Emily that she was Swedish. But when they were in Calgary in Canada, someone tried to speak Swedish to her and she had no idea how to speak it.
Amazing.
And Emily realized she wasn't fucking Swedish.
Hey.
Oh, okay, Emily. Brilliant. There could have been other things along the way.
Okay, so... She went back then. Emily left and went back home. And she was afraid to sort of tell anyone because she realized how stupid it made her seem and it made her. You can just twist the whole thing.
Yeah, it's
there's something under it, yeah.
No, it's balanced on three things.
So,
Sorry,
Cass. Thank you. Okay, go back to where you were.
Go back to...
Emily then leaves and goes back to California and goes back to her family and doesn't really speak of their kind of time traveling because she's too afraid to talk about it because she understands how ridiculous now it is in hindsight,
She must have been so shell-shocked.
Felt such a dick.
But not even a dick. You'd feel so like, what's wrong with me that I got so deep into that?
You're right. Actually, that was a massive kick on.
That's like entering and exiting a cult, I think.
Yeah. Probably.
Like basically, you have that level. Yeah, you've been gaslit.
You're just so into it. It's so creepy.
What's
but all
real,
these
what's
things,
not.
Yeah. You're getting documents for different... You're getting like to get documents to get fake IDs. It just seems so creepy, right? During their time together, Samantha had also used another name. Presumably letting Emily in on it, but she called herself Aurora Hepburn.
Okay, here we go again.
So, I mean, Jesus God.
I know, right?
And so where does one get a name like Aurora Hepburn?
So
And she's doing her best cat. Well, darling.
Yeah.
If your name's Roar, I'm doing my best Catherine Hepburn impression here now.
Exactly.
Okay, so when Emily left her and went back to California, obviously Emily's life continues. What happens to Samantha?
Yeah.
She walks into a police station in Calgary and tells them that she's a 14-year-old girl and that her name was Aurora Hepburn and that she'd been a victim of abduction, sexual assault,
and
torture.
Here we go again.
Jesus. But she's upped the ante on
torture and sexual assault.
Yes. Okay. Emily.
What year are we now?
Sorry, we're kind of later in 2014. So we're still only like a year after. This brings us up to the 16th of September 2014 was the day she walked into the police station, right? And considering she was only in October 2013 was outside the GPO. All of this Interpol crazy shit has happened within a year.
Whoa.
Yeah, so she has done the 6 months back in Ireland and gone to Sydney and met this girl within a year. So I think Emily recounts that they were together for about 4 months. Right.
Okay.
And it's almost as if the day after Emily leaves and goes back to California, she walks into the police station.
The other way, people go backpacking incredible. And just like really piss about.
Yeah. Yeah.
She got fucking busy. Okay.
Yeah. Emily realizes how fucked up she is when she, a couple of days after getting home, Googles her name, Aurora, and discovers the story about her in Calgary. Meanwhile, authorities in Calgary see the similarities between her and the story of a girl outside the GPO and realize that it's the same girl from the photo.
Tell me she went to
prison.
Thank
God we released the photo. Because that has been following her around and kind of being the thing that
keeps
sort of keeps her things, right? So she got deported again from Canada. She got charged again, a nominal fine for wasting police time. We're pretty much up to scratch and where she is now, but I'm almost 100% certain that in Sydney she did the same thing again. Oh, she did. Sorry. She did the same thing again. She went into a police station, said she was a 14-year-old girl who'd been lost. She went into a school, was put into foster care. A charity gave her an iPad and an iPhone, and she was settled and seemed to be doing well until once again that she was rumbled by all her lies. Right now in Australia, or at least earlier this year, she was spending 6 months in jail for wasting police time and fraud and all that kind of stuff.
It needs to be a little longer.
Essentially, she's going to be out and going to be free again.
Look, she's only going to be able to ride the 14-year-old train a little longer.
Look, what she needs to do is set up a wellness lifestyle brand. That's her skill set.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Is some kind of like large scale bullshittery.
Yeah, sales.
Sales. She's fucking sales.
No offense to sales guys.
But
massively.
She needs to channel
talented. This
entrepreneurial spirit and, you know, bent for bullshit.
It is fascinating, like you say, what the goal was.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do not know.
Can we get her to do an interview?
Will we have her? Will we have one of her other personalities?
Who cares? I do not know. Cassie, try.
I bags Aurora Hepburn.
Yeah, okay. You take Aurora, I'll take... Which one was Annika?
Well, guys, I just started lying and then it just snowballed, you know? Am I good at Catherine Hepburn?
You've gone into that, that 1950s...
I know, I'm trying to do Catherine Hepburn.
But she's not a journalist from the 50s. Huh, Saul. You know, the...
Yeah, they talk real fast and they go, like, kind of nasal.
That's exactly...
That's Catherine Hepburn. I'm trying to do Catherine Hepburn.
For God's sake.
But, like,
there's a connection. Aurora Hepburn,
yeah,
Catherine.
No, I'm with you.
Okay.
I'm with you.
She was born in 1988, so she's only 30 now, right? There has been a book written by a journalist, I'm pretty sure, from The New Yorker about her, but I think it was written after the GPO, so it's... probably not as up to date with all her current cons.
With her current activities.
Mm-hmm.
Who's bankrolling her? Where'd she get the cash?
I don't.
There's some
standout questions for me.
Yeah. Mm.
Why her family hasn't taken care of her at this stage?
Well, she's a wreck the head.
How she hasn't got a psychiatric evaluation, because there's something wrong there.
Yeah.
Even pathological liar. And how she's getting the money and the passports.
Oh, God.
The flights, not just money for her own travel and flights,
she's
but to
gifting
pay for,
money away.
She's gifting Canadian flights to relative strangers.
God, that is an epic story with your one, isn't it?
It's got a brilliant grandiosity and then very strange kind of low-grade elements to it too. Like, as in, she's bamboozling single people at a time or at best...
Our country.
At best kind of like communities, like in high schools and police stations. But like, it hasn't taken on like a huge scale, but then suddenly she swoops big with the Interpol.com fucking emails.
Amazing.
And the money and the like, yeah, this like real...
I mean, she's definitely tits deep in the dark web, I would say. Like, she has to be getting all these mad documents and stuff sorted and like...
Yeah, is she like on, I think a drug dealer or something like that?
Getting them on planes with these falsified documents.
Well, that is, yeah.
But that would be something way more concrete to get her on. That would be more than just endless... police time-wasting charges.
Yeah, or suspended sentences. And it's because, I guess, she's committing these cons in, you know, Ireland, Europe, Canada. And these are the ones that we know of. There's a few gaps in there of timelines. Like, between 2011 and 2013, I'd imagine there was another one that hasn't been reported and or hasn't
why
been...
Why haven't we heard from the families that she, you know, was fostered into?
Because I think people are embarrassed. I think people they can't believe they've been conned by, you know, by the last kind of... con. If she's 30 now, she was 26 when she walked into Calgary Police Station and said she was 14.
Yeah.
Presumably 27 when she went back to Sydney and got enrolled in high school again.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay, epic. Thank you. Cassie, what a story.
Brilliant story.
Yeah, I'm salivating.
I've a roar ahead then.
So I've kind of a relatively short one.
Okay, give it to
us. So you guys might remember it because I definitely went to kind of... see what I was going to talk about and rewatch this video. And I watch it like every year.
Did you just return to a conversation that we've already had some time and was like, what about that story?
Yeah, there you go. So it's a video of a girl in a lift.
Right. I know this one, but I don't know
because of you. I know this one.
Her name, bear with me now as I...
Is this in LA?
Is Eliza Lam.
Yes.
Right, so that's her Cantonese name. And she was a Canadian student. So her... Well, I guess she's dead now. But her body was found in the water tank of a hotel. And it was found because because the guests were tasting something disgusting in the water and it was off colour. Yeah, so then they went up to investigate.
What is that, like a little tang of corpse juice?
Yeah. Jesus, I'd say it was disgusting. However, her body was found up there. The staff of the hotel went up to check it out and her clothes were floating on top and her nude body was bloated somewhat decomposed within the tank.
I've seen a picture of this tank as well. It's like up on
stilts.
Stands. Yeah, it's really high up.
Yes, so the guys needed a ladder to get to it and get in to see that her body was there.
Yeah.
So that kicked off an investigation, obviously.
Jeez, the poor thing.
So Eliza had a kind of she was fairly, you know, normal. She was travelling around. She'd been checking in with her folks every day, which is really what's kind of made them say, where the hell is my daughter? It's kind of sparked the investigation.
She was really connected in with them.
She was really connected in with them. And it was all, you know, ticking along as a regular unexplained death case would, until they located the last known footage of her, which was from inside the elevator of the hotel. And it is fucking bizarre. So... It's a few minutes long, the tape, and it's just her coming in and out of the elevator, but she's checking either side. You can only ever see her. It looks like at points like she's talking to somebody, but you never see anybody. She's acting really erratically. She presses all the buttons and then hops out and then hops back in again.
Yeah.
Laughing, kind of gesturing. It's creepy.
It's so creepy.
As if like she's like leaning. As if someone else is there and she's having a laugh.
Exactly. It looks like she's kind of having a game. And then you kind of go back into the comments and obviously that's kind of sparked an enormous Reddit kind of thread of, well, she was off her head, she was on some PCP or ecstasy, but there was a drug toxicity report done on her body and there was no alcohol, no drugs.
And at points she's like leaning out of the lift.
That's right.
Like as if she's looking down the hall.
Absolutely
And darting back in
and running back in. It's
like,
really...
It's erratic. Yeah. It's scary looking, but you're right. She kind of like looks weirdly playful at times.
Totally. She looks to be having a good game with somebody, but it goes on a long time. And then eventually the lift door is closed and that's the last you see of Eliza. So the question remains like what actually happened to her. So that's the last known footage of her. But sightings in the hotel, the staff were like, she was in great form. She was always said hello to us and... blah, blah, blah. They didn't see anybody with her ever, but her body was found there. Now, there was no sexual things done to her body. It was seemed to be obviously no drugs, no alcohol and just naturally decomposing.
Did but they she find was it was a death?
They never, no, I don't think so. In fact, definitely not. So the cause of death is ambiguous, is how it was marked on the, on the case
was it
after.
Not drowning?
Well, I think, it was quite decomposed at the time she was found. So I don't think they were able to...
Yeah, so if they said ambiguous, I presume it could have been in numerous things. Like, yeah, I'm sure her lungs were full of fluid, but her body was, she was nude and her clothes were all floating on top. So it does look like somebody turfed her in. But then again, she did have a history of bipolar disorder and some other mental illnesses and was on medication for that. So there's a kind of background suggestion that it might have been a suicide. But she would have had to get into the water tank somewhere. You'd need a ladder and there was no ladder there.
Mm.
And also, what, did she take off all her clothes and then jump in? Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, and there's no ladder. Like, yeah, that's it. Like, she couldn't have gotten
ultimately,
up there.
The bones of it is, it's the weirdest footage I've ever seen of, like, creepy and haunting without actually seeing anything happening. But it's really bizarre. But check it out.
Crazy. It's really creepy.
Yeah. Let me see now. I'm just going to scroll down to see if there's any final notes on it. No, the case is still open. It's nothing for the family. Anyway, there she is.
Poor Eliza Lamb.
But go check out the video. It's amazingly creepy. I watched it with my 2-year-old.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Get them started young.
Get them started young. Dive on into the creeps. What's your story, Soaps?
My story is also pretty short. It's a horror story.
Oh, yeah.
It's a true horror story. It's from a book I've just finished reading that I really recommend. That was written, I talked about it on Mother Pod actually, by a former doctor.
Oh yes, what's
and
it called?
So it
this
is all
won't hurt a,
this is gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Now I finished the book since talking about it on Mother Pod with you, and I have to say I have a lot of thoughts on it.
Okay.
Not all positive.
All right.
But there is some gore. It is a gore fest.
Give it to
and
us.
And this story is just gorge. So it's short and sweet. So he was an obstetrician, so all his anecdotes are from the labour ward. And he has a certain impatience, shall we say, with patients who, you know, think they know a thing or two about
themselves
birthing.
And their themselves. Own body and having
yes.
a vagina.
Yes.
Oh,
and
well.
I totally am not here for it in yeah. terms of his little attitude. But anyway, this is kind of mega. So Thursday, 16th of August, 2007. A horror story. Patient GL, whose genetic makeup appears to be 50% goji berry recipes and 50% Mumsnet posts, has announced...
Bitchy!
I know, he's really catty. Has announced she wants to eat her placenta. The midwife and I both pretend not to hear this.
It's her fucking placenta.
Firstly, because we don't know what the hospital protocol is. And secondly, because it's completely revolting.
That is gas. I'm just going to pretend not to hear this.
I know. It's just like,
what do? Just look away?
Just kind of rustle instruments loudly, I guess. GL, the patient, calls it placentophagia to make it sound more official.
Okay.
Which doesn't particularly wash. You can make anything sound official by translating it into the ancient Greek. Okay, hang on one sec. Actually, can we take a quick pause? Because I just need to grab up something.
Go.
Sorry, should have had this ready.
Is it a picture of the placenta?
No.
Oh,
okay.
God. Don't do this again.
Sorry, 2 seconds now. And we actually are going to cut this out, aren't we?
Is it 4,000 degrees in here? Or is
it's
it just
very
like,
warm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a liquid.
Oh, is that machine? Turn that off, yeah. It's going to take a while to cool down.
Yeah. Hang on.
It's all the foam.
Placentophagia. Is that what that's just a medical term for?
No, it's adding the Greek phasia.
Does that mean to eat?
I'll tell you now. One sec. That's what I'm bringing up here. One sec. Sorry,
oh,
guys.
God, this is like an incredible amount of shit. Okay, I'm going to change her while you look. Oh, God.
Okay, so he has a further note on, you know, the practice of translating things to the original Greek to give them a more official sounding name.
Mm-hmm.
So he has in the footnotes included a comment, cholelithopractophilia would be shoving gallstones up your arse. But I've just made it up. Orbitobilonephilia means sticking needles in your eyes, and craniophallic anastomosis means dickhead. Are you going to get it? So that's just an aside, one of his footnotes, which is like a glorious read in and of itself. So anyway, she goes on to explain how natural it is among other mammals which is another somewhat defective argument. We don't let other mammals do things like run for parliament or drive buses, nor do we normalise other things they do, like fucking the furniture or eating their young, or pedophagia, as she'd presumably call it. I turn the conversation...
That sounds more like eating a
paedophile.
Okay.
It does. Adam Kay, feedback from us. I turn the conversation to the more pressing matter of clapping some forceps on her baby's head and getting it out. I love it. This whole conversation is happening while they are in the middle of delivering the baby. This happens smoothly and the baby is fine and will continue to be until it gets homeschooled and taken on all naked yurt-based family holidays. Adam Kay is very fucking judgmental.
What the fuck is his problem?
It's a yurt holiday.
Let the bitch eat her placenta. What's it to you?
I told you, he's very judgmental. He's fucking, you know.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, a couple of
minutes over here.
A couple of minutes later, I'm delivering the placenta and look up to have the awkward discussion about what GL the patient would like me to do with it. She has a kidney dish in her hands and is shoveling handfuls of blood clots into her mouth.
Wow.
Now,
that's amazing.
Is vile.
Can I?
I think she's a bad bitch. I'm like, fucking go.
I'm gonna have a look. I took a picture of my
placenta. She's cannibalizing herself.
I don't think we need to see that.
You don't need to see it, but can I just
say, see it.
How fucking meaty the thing is.
But like, chewy. Right, you've got someone now who's, I know I've never given birth and I've actually never seen someone give birth, but I imagine it's like your vagina explodes and there's like a volcano of like gore and a baby come out of it and there's noise.
Yeah.
And now this woman presumably is popping blood clots all over her face, looking incredibly feral.
Oh my God. And also,
amazing.
Side note, like, you're hungry after labor.
Yeah.
But you're also kind of like sick. Everything in the world has just fucked with you. So you're a bit sicky.
Yeah.
And they give you like toast or, you know, you start small.
I mean,
you do not start with a plate of meat
tartar.
That came from you.
Yeah. I'm a vegetarian.
Like, that's why
anyway,
I'm just
so
like,
reluctant.
Fucking go, bitch. Because
kind of
she's just.
With her as well.
She's going for the main course. Straight off the top.
What it was? She's
no seasoning.
She sensed
no
that they were going to fight her.
Yeah, and she's
so she was like, I was going to hammer this into my face.
Hand it to me over. Hand it to me. I bet there's some real cowed husband in the corner who's like, just yes,
okay. Whatever you want.
If you insist, Aurora Hepburn, give me the placenta, darling. I'm just going to choke it down right now. Oh God, I'm losing my Hepburn impression.
Pinky's out.
Yeah, exactly. Brilliant.
So anyway, right. Let's just return to the image. She has a kidney dish in her hands and is shoveling handfuls of blood clots into her mouth.
Nice.
Presumably still in stirrups. Isn't this the placenta, she asks? Blood dribbling out the corner of her mouth like the disgusting progeny of Dracula and the Cookie Monster.
It's not the placenta she's eating.
I explain that it's just some clots I left in a bowl after delivering the baby.
Oh, God.
She's
basically just eating her period, essentially.
Yes. She is the period muncher, the menstrual muncher.
Get that into you, Cynthia.
Yes.
Violent.
Clearly, blood isn't the delicious post-delivery snack she imagines placenta might be. She holds up the kidney dish and vomits into it and around it.
Oh, God.
Could this lady have any more, like, bodily fluids around her at this moment then? If she's got blood, she's got vomit, presumably piss and shit from the birth, and placenta.
All she's lacking is sperm.
Tears.
If somebody
I'm sure there
could
are
just
tears.
Jizz in the corner of the
tears.
Room, it would be the hat trick.
Wow.
Of juices.
Well, wow. That was a palate cleanser of a story. But I love it.
Took
her.
Us way down there.
And
but
like,
isn't
why
that
is
epic?
Collecting the clots.
I suppose
I mean,
he's just trying to get stuff out of the way
them.
And stuff.
I think he set her up. He's like, I'm going to confuse this.
Do you think he put them not in a hospital dish, but in like a takeaway Thai noodles box?
Yeah.
With just some chopsticks.
I tell you.
And a little spring onion.
You'd have some. You wouldn't be able to get through a placenta with chopsticks. You need a steak knife.
Oh, you need a hacksaw.
Yeah.
They're so tough.
So much sinew.
Oh, yeah. You know that kind of crazy iridescent webbing?
Yes.
They look bananas. They look really cool. They look like a unicorn shit.
Absolutely correct.
Yes.
They look like a unicorn shit.
But
okay.
Beautiful. Obviously,
I mean,
it's a miracle.
Eat it, though.
Eat one. But how are we for time?
57 minutes.
Okay.
Fantastic. Woohoo.
Well, that was, there's a bit to cut out of the start as well. So.
Yeah. Cassie, and me rustling around epic. Looking for that. Yeah.
Bring up your mic. Just bring up your mic slightly.
Cassie, that story was epic. Enjoyed it immensely. Sophie, thank you for yours.
Thank you for such a satisfying creep dive.
I recommend going to look at that video of Eliza Lam because it'll freak you out.
God love her, but it's amazingly brilliantly creepy.
What have
creepy,
we done
creepy.
Here? Like, what sort of joy have we brought into people's lives here today?
Well, we've saved them a lot of a deep, deep Wikipedia hunt.
I feel kind of like...
That's what
I
we're bringing to the people.
I imagine like waking up from a coma feels like. Like you just see the world a little bit differently because it's changed.
I feel changed by this.
I feel changed by knowing that there's such creepy things going on out there.
We're the product of Rotten.com. This is the new generation. Of rotten.com, no?
While you said that, I thought the baby vommed inside the sling on you.
Jesus. Sorry, yeah, there's a kid here as well.
Do you know what I feel inspired? To be more ambitious with my lies to strangers.
I feel a
impossible,
deep, deep sense of anxiety.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming. Follow at Tall deep. Tales, I guess, on Instagram.
Yes, this is a Tall Tales podcast. Follow us for more crazy podcasts.
And thank you very much to Katrina for being our executive producer on the Creep Dive today.
And listening to
thank
all
you
the
for
bits.
Bobby for supplying bodily fluids and yes.
Soon I'll be able to shake her. Anyway, thanks for coming. I hope you enjoyed diving with us. Come back next week.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.